calls are kept private. They are in the private area, so no one has anything to worry about. We have missed half the friggin' call. That is crazy. Brother Daoud, you are live. Go ahead, Brother Daoud.
Peace to everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, brother.
All right. Peace to everyone. A little bit about myself. I have been a therapist for nearly 20 years. I was sort of the guy that you'd see on television on the high crime shows, the psychologist who comes in and assesses the patient to determine for the court what should happen. That was my job. I just didn't get paid as much. As a result of the collapse, financial collapse, which really should be said financial robbery, like Wells Fargo and other things disproportionately hurting our community, I watched as my clientele's level of mental problems and severities rose. Among the youth I would service, their mental health problems nearly quadrupled from 2007 to 2016. The adults who were in these young people's lives, their mental health problems doubled within that time frame. I'm sort of going on in the lines of explaining your disconnect that you experience. And those are just the clients I would see. And I worked at an agency, like I said, for 20 years, and we were the best at what we did. We had the lowest recidivism rates in the nation with the level of clientele and the severity of problems they had. One of the good things that we were able to do is we were able to reduce recidivism because we were able to line our clientele up. As horrible as their crimes were, as mental health difficulties that they had, we were able to help them get adult jobs as they got older. We serviced young people from age 12 to 21. Mm-hmm. So I had loads of experience in that. But in the last 10 years, including that 2007 time frame, I really began to see that as responsible as a black human being in America I was in a way helping legitimize the system. By churning out these successful young people, I was still turning them into a system that does not have their best interests at heart and, as a reason for the black wallet, hasn't seen to our economic needs. And so I did not like the look of that, but I couldn't find a way out of providing that service and, you know, being able to maintain an income. Well, I decided to finally leave when I found such an organization, very similar to what I'm hearing from the black wallet, which is why I have not joined yet. Because I wanted to learn more about you. I started with their militarist arm, which grew into an economic arm, which I fully decided to participate in. Its role was to section off each state, and within each state, section off regions, where we were to gather our directory, sounds familiar, our directory of businesses that would participate in a national black treasury. It was organized by an economist and military person, former United States military person, who even did missions into Africa that we were never told about. He very wisely and very concretely developed a system that could help build black wealth among our ability to organize black businesses to participate even modestly. Now, here comes the disconnect. As a result of the financial robbery of 2007, where white families on the whole recouped their losses by year three, to this date, black families have not recouped from 2007. We lost a total going into the Obama administration era, we lost a total of 56% of our collective wealth as a result of that robbery. So therefore, that's the reason why my clientele, I saw through my clientele, their mental health conditions worsening. And along with that, their financial status worsening. There were a lot more young people in need of alternative placements, and all too often those alternative placements were struggling themselves, and all too often those young people went into worse situations, even leaving their families after committing horrible crimes in those situations. So that's another reason why I had to leave, because I couldn't stand to watch this horror get worse without doing something about the economics of what is the dynamic that all too often has a major impact on our lives. And so that's why I quit my job. I participated with this organization, and as of April of this year, it collapsed. because the financial wherewithal of black businesses wasn't enough to sustain the required amount of monthly dues we were asking them to participate in. And some of the very things I've heard here, we were doing as well. We were lining these businesses up, and we found the same thing. A lot of them are overly involved in food service, hair care. Also, they're struggling. Also, they have fears because of past attempts or a lack thereof in the past. So we often had to work against the past that people didn't want to participate in. And the economic situation that we're in sort of makes people desperate. And that's what we found. Now, I did pretty well in my state of Ohio with getting businesses to sign up. But when it came time to participate economically, like I was participating at the tune of $50 a month because I sincerely believed in it. We were asking businesses, depending on their size, to chip in between $50 and $100, and those that were under a certain size, anywhere from $10 to $50. Right. And like I said, nationally, when it came time to actually put money into the treasury, so many just dropped out. They liked the idea of the treasury, but when it came time to do it, the wherewithal that these businesses were struggling, again, we are collectively struggling since 2007 and have not recouped, been recouped. That's where it all ended up. So by April of this year, it was just ended. And so I quit my job. I am now in the process of working a business on the side to keep me afloat. And I may have to look back into going into back into practice again because of that. And so I ran across today the idea of solutions as was placed, I guess, on Facebook. I found it, and I wanted to participate in the call before I decide what to do. And I just like to use the remainder of this time, hopefully I haven't talked too long, is that one solution, whereas I work with the age group you're talking about, the guys who are selling drugs on the corners, I work with gangs, all that. And I'd say what that is viable maybe 10 years ago. I think it's less viable now because the level of stressors that age group is functioning under. Will there be successes? Yes, there will be successes when they find opportunity and have good elders and good support systems. Like the lady said, people could be whispering in their ears to get them to do things. I think they're more susceptible to that. Our group of young people today are questioning their sexuality like no other age group before because of all these other influences, mainly corporate, white corporate influences. Another reason for the disconnect is the numbers. People talk about the large amounts of money we spend, and they do sound large, but they're misleading. They group us in with other groups in some of those analyses, and at the same time, we have multiple groups, or within our group, we have multiple people purchasing multiple items because they're able, but a vast majority of our people are unable. So those statistics are a bit weighed. And I'll give you references. There's Antonio Moore, who's a lawyer out of California, made a movie about crack cocaine last year about how the government was involved, which is where I like what that earlier caller said. He's done a great analysis on that and says how those numbers are misleading and give us the idea that we have more money than we actually do have to do ventures like this. So you can look him up. And also a lady who's doing financial talk work about what this a lady earlier in the call had suggested that we go reach out to grants or other government things. Her spiel is, her name is Yvette Cornell, is that no other group has risen without government involvement.
Yeah, now I remember her saying that. I do remember her saying that. I stopped listening to her that day. She's like, we can't do it by ourselves.
I
stopped listening to her that day.
You brought up some very
valid points. We do have more people in the queue. You're free. We can get to the these calls usually last till about 11 o'clock.
About your philosophy. Do you utilize or have access to Dr. Claude Anderson's work? That is my question.
Well, you say you just came in. We do. So I found out about Dr. Claude Anderson after we did the blueprint. I just was researching a lot of the different things, but it is definitely similar in regards to a lot of the things that he's talking about. I do recall him saying that he wasn't trying to actually put the people, you know, actually get the people together anymore. He's just put the book out there. He put the blueprint out there. He's like, you know, black people, you go ahead and take it. I was listening to WBLI, the radio station or whatever in New York, and he was saying how he was like sick and tired of trying to do what he had to do. How our organization differs though is we're trying to, you got a lot of feedback on your call. I don't know what's going on.
You can mute me.
Okay, all right. So how this organization is different is we are trying to use our existing behavior to fund the things that we want to do. So like you said, you know, so even if those numbers are skewed, the $1.3 trillion or whatever, right, I know for a fact that there are hundreds of billions. They got to be hundreds of billions. The things that we want to do, the money is there if we're able to change around what's going on in our communities, because we have people who are here with smaller populations, the Jewish community, the LGBT community, the Latino community, all these other people, there's less of them than there are of us, and they are doing what they're doing. I'm from Brooklyn, right on, and it's funny, right? So you're saying businesses that we, hair care, food, or whatever. I'm in hair care and food. But the right across Eastern Parkway is a Jewish community, right next to a Caribbean community, and even the Caribbeans who come here to America, they keep their economies going. They keep their areas thriving. So even if those numbers are off, I believe that we as a collective, we spend a lot of our money. I said this on a few weeks ago. We, especially like in the inner cities, a lot of our money is straight cash, and we give it to the Arab store owners. Basically, we spend a lot of our money there. People actually do their grocery shopping at the corner stores and things like that. So, and we give a lot of our money to the check cashing places and things like that. So, you know, if we are able to reclaim some of those businesses, that will allow us to be able to function better. So we've been on for a while. I gotta open this call up to the other people in the queue. Hello, brother. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yep. So that's pretty much like where we are with it. I want to get that brother Benjamin and sister. I'm gonna call the sister Mia. But do you have anything you want to add in conclusion?
Well, only to that, I agree with you that we do have some base funds that we could do something with, but I think we got to do a good job of quantifying what it is, what we're capable of. Like you, I believe that I call it the misery index. There was the Emmett Till situation that took place that galvanized us. That's how bad it can get. I don't know how bad it can get now for us to be galvanized to do this, because the other side of this is cultural and behavioral. And we just haven't gotten there yet. So something's going to have to happen to get us going there. I'd hope Katrina was going to be that thing that would galvanize us to be consistent and realize we could spend dollars elsewhere. But until we get there, we're dealing with the reality where people are. And right there are right now is in a desperate situation, servicing a lot of them their base needs and compensating for the mental health problems that are either diagnosed or undiagnosed to deal with this calamity. So something's got to galvanize this, or we're going to continue on this, or like the other lady said, we can use some of those volunteers that you don't want to use or can't see to use to be focused on pressuring the government system to provide those supports. You name the Jewish community. There's also the Jewish community in Brooklyn that's receiving welfare benefits higher than the NAS class.
Right, a big point. You know what, brother, do me a favor, so just – come back in the queue, you know, go out, press *6, come back in. Let's let the other people call, because what you're saying is, everything that you're saying is 100% accurate. You have a very accurate picture of what's going on. I just want to give, we've definitely went way
over. I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Yep, just press *6 again. Brother Ben.
Yeah, I got cut off earlier. But, yeah, just back to what I said, I'm more like you, man. I'm from Texas. I just, like, said, let's get it done. But I'm, like, looking at it the way you're looking at it. If we get everybody on here, like I said, it's if you look at all 50 states, even if it was just like 40 states, we got hundreds and hundreds of black business owners in Pennsylvania, Florida, Texas, L.A., where I'm at, New York, where you're everywhere, right? So if all those people are there, but you think the way I'm thinking about it is on a way bigger level. There's guys out there that got T-shirt shops, barber shops. If they are having, just say, for instance, we all have one hub. Just say, for instance, it's BlackWallaceMatter.com, right? And they were all able there to be able to advertise like a black Craigslist, shall I say. And they all, and anywhere you look, you just say you're in Florida, you need a plumbing done, you can find you a black plumber. Now, for instance, when they go on there and pay for services or whatnot, even in a consultation, we have a service where we'll charge a percentage of that. Maybe it's 10%, 15%. That comes to Black Wallace Matter. You get your service, everybody's happy. That's all I was saying. That money can come up in like thousands a night. That can, and like that brother that was just speaking, now you got those thousands of dollars coming in a night. Now you can go set up a form at the Hyatt or either do a webinar and have that brother come on there and speak about the mental problems and things like that. But I'm talking about getting the thing going now. So it's ways we can do
there
it.
There you go.
I want to definitely talk to you tomorrow or sometime when you got a. I don't even care if it's 10 minutes because I know both of us build websites. I can help organize the hell out of this thing. We can work together and let's get it going. We can just have it, the registry there, but let everybody know if you're going to become a part of the member, you don't even have to be sitting there worried about your daily, your monthly fees because the people that's coming there shopping online through your business is already bringing enough. We're going to go ahead and waive that fee for you. You already got it out this month. If it's not, then, yeah, you got to pay your monthly fee.
All right, cool, brother.
So, see, friends, about it. We got a guy that on here to do T-shirts. And off online, coming through the Black Wallace Matter, people start going to his T-shirt shop. Now he got about 50 orders come through. It should be no problem with him paying $50, $100 a month. Matter of fact, he just already donated back through that. Even if it was 10% off of every T-shirt coming back, he just gave back about $400 or $500 back to Black Wallace Matter.
No, bro, I hear you.
The hundreds that do that every single day. The money is there to be made. Like you said, we can be self-sufficient because I do door-to-door work all over the United States. I got about 50 agents that work for me right now, door-to-door. Trust me, I see this every day. The Asian community, every community is self-sufficient, but ours in its ways that we can fix, and I look at it every day. I'm just some more solution-oriented. That's what I'm already working on. I want to work definitely with you on it because, like I said, I see we on the right path. I don't need to do no more research.
Okay, great, brother. Well, I hope you become a member and anyone else on the
I'm going to sign up right now online. So you'll see.
Oh, okay, that's what's up. I appreciate it.
I'm all about my action. I ain't going to keep sitting and talking about nothing.
that's what's up, bro. I love it.
All right.
All right, peace.
I'm going to get off, though. Go on and get to the next person, but I'm going to go email you, too.
Okay, cool. No problem.
All right.
Sister Mia, hold on. I got you. Caller from 972 area code. Your first name, please. Caller from 972. I'm sorry.
892. This
yes.
is Amber.
Okay, Sister Amber. Okay, no problem. Okay, Sister. Okay. Okay, Sister Mia, I don't want to butcher your name.
It's not a problem. It's Maimuna, but you can call me Gail.
Maimuna. Oh, yes. Man.
That's the same person.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you very much for this evening. This is a great forum you have going. So it's good evening, everyone. And this is my first time on the call, so I did not know what you discussed maybe at the last one. But some of the things that I've been listening to, we always end up in these discussions where we want to do a lot of things for the community and our families and building income, and it's always coming down to the place where we just lack funds. We need funds. And so I work with companies that what we do is generate funding. So we want to resolve that problem of not having funds, and in order to do that, of course, we have to get funds coming in. And the way that the traditional way that we've been doing things is not working. It's like we've been doing the same type of thing, trying to make money. Our businesses are trying to make money, but we end up at the same place where we're still lack money. We're still lacking funds, you know? And so other communities use different tactics, networking and leveraging. When you're, everybody is not, one person doesn't have to do all the work just because they want all the money, but if we all work together, then that way we can all share the wealth. We share the money coming in. And so we just have to think it a little bit differently. And there are already vehicles in place that allow us to do that, but we just need to understand how to work them. So, you know, there's, as I said, there are several vehicles out there. People are making income all the time, generating income, and you generate income just by leveraging and by networking. And I think it's Warren Buffett who said, you know, if you're not making money while you sleep, you're going to work until you die. And so these are millionaires that understand how this money system works. It is, in fact, creating an income-producing system. So it's a system. Money comes in, you save some money, you pay your bills, you know, but money is continuously coming in. And so we have to understand that process. You know, we cannot keep depending on a government that we already know how they mistreat our community, and we understand that we're always asking the government. We think that that's the only way that we can succeed is if we get money from the government, which is not true. We can generate our own income. We can become our own bank. But we have to think it a little differently. We have to understand that this, the traditional system is not a system that works. It will break down every time. People will lose money. The banks will lose money. And they don't, just like the brother said, when they lose money, our community loses money, and we take the longest to recover. That's because we don't understand how to create an income-generating system. So what I would like to do, and it's something that we'll need to sit and talk about and look at and understand, because it's a new concept. It's not new, but it's new to us because we don't use it. And that's why we are always without funds. So I'm not sure how to get in touch with, or how, if you want to get in touch with me, or if we can create some type of another call or something. But it's a different mindset. And so, you know, we cannot just continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome. You're going to get the same outcome. So if we're doing something different, we will get a different result.
Yep. Sister, you are 100% correct in regards to having an income-generating system and things like that. I run the risk of offending some folks on the call, but the reality from I'm actually researching this, we don't have a culture of investing. The crack epidemic decimated us. Prior to the crack epidemic, there was the heroin epidemic. Those things decimated us as a people, because prior to that, when there was Jim Crow and all these other different things, we had no other choice but to do for self. But when some of those other things came in, and then they also, you know, at the same time, they provided social services, you know, and created, you know, basically created the welfare system, and basically put us on that and whatever it is. That took away our responsibility, our fiscal responsibility, and our and the culture of needing or learning how to manage money in the household. And so okay, those are things that aren't being taught to our kids. And so I didn't get to this in the introduction because I kind of got caught up. But part of the organization's goal is to create community resource centers. So if you watch the blueprint, you will know that that's the overall goal of doing all the things that we want to do. We create these community resource centers, and in those resource centers, we take the we have the children, the youth, and then we teach them and educate them about, you know, give them some degree of financial literacy, and then instill the practice, because it's you know, having money is a responsibility, and it's you need discipline, and you have to practice it over and over and over, and then you also need to understand that you have to use that money as a tool, as leverage, as you said, to achieve, you know, the things that you want to achieve in life. Okay. So I would definitely love to speak with you behind the scenes. All you, the email that you received for the town hall, all you have to do is just reply to that email. It will come directly to me, and we can continue the conversation there.
Okay, that would be perfect.
All right. Thank you, Sister Gail.
Sure. You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brother Will. Brother William.
Yes, sir. How you doing tonight? Sounds like this is a pretty good format for doing some things and really speaking on the issues. And a couple of things I want to bring up, because I know you got other people in the queue, and I want other people to get on and express what they're talking about. At this juncture, I'm not a member of Black Wallace Matter, and I am going to definitely consider doing some things and becoming a member real soon with your organization.
Well, brother, let me ask you this. What's stopping you? What's holding you back? What can we give you?
I just, I'm just like a recent person that's been, you know, that's been brought to light about Black Wallace Matter. So I didn't know anything about it until recently. So it's something that I'm on this call. I want to find out what's going on, and I want to try to get a better idea about what your platform's all about and everything else. But that's not what's holding me back, because that's not an issue, okay? If you see what I'm saying.
No, I get it, brother, listen, like I told the sister, she actually just got off, though. Like I told the sister, if you want, like, some slippers, if you want T-shirts, if you want a mug, like the sister said, like, because that's the, I'm really trying to get to the bottom line, like you're saying.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really not interested in getting anything like that. I want to try to bring concepts, and I want to try to bring ways for us to get information about how we can create this wealth, okay? Because one of the things that I have an issue with is that, you know, we want to talk about it, and we want, like you said earlier, and plan about it, but nobody's bringing anything of concrete, like, viability to the picture, if you know what I'm saying. So what I like to see happen, and let me tell you something else real quick. I don't know if you know this brother. His name is Divine. He has a company called Black Fine Tech, and he's doing some things. And I know somebody mentioned about going out and getting a credit card to sort of create some wealth-building situations from that. He's doing something like that already. And I had a long talk with him today in regards to going in a different direction. One of the things I want to bring up is the fact that we're in a global society. Okay, this, I mean, a lot of people, you know, we can bring it back home from a domestic perspective, but we're in a global society. And we got to find out how we can get in this global society and look at what's out there and what's available as it relates to creating wealth. Now, one of the things that you know and I know is that the continent of Africa is rich with a lot of minerals and a whole bunch of other stuff, okay? And so I'm just saying that that's just one element of looking at some things. There's other countries that are doing things that will be more open to what we're looking to accomplish here in the United States and working with people of color. So I do know that, like I said, we're in a global society. The other thing that I want to bring up is that don't miss out on the opportunities as it relates to, and this is something that I was having this discussion with Brother Divine today, is about doing some real due diligence and research in regards to cryptocurrency. Because I'm going to tell you something, that is where I think we as a people can create a lot of wealth. The other thing I want to talk about real quick, and I want to bring this up to you, if you never heard of a guy, I think his name is James Simons, and the Mercer Group, the Mercer family, they run a hedge fund called Renaissance Technologies. I want everybody that's on this listening, go do some research on those guys. Because what I found out from Renaissance Technologies is that it's a hedge fund, and they look for people that, you know, you got to come in with like millions of dollars to get into their fund. But I'm thinking, why not pare that down? There's a lot of black businesses out there, barbershops, salons, everything that people have been talking about on this call tonight, and saying, why not collectively, like you said, if you're going to raise money, not only for Black Wallets Matter, but find a way to divert some of that money into an investment opportunity as it relates to raising capital, and it may not be in a large hedge fund like Renaissance Technologies, but do something that involves investing in a fund that will raise capital to create wealth and invest that into different businesses, industries, and I like to call some of these industries beneficial disruptors. Now, what's that? It's renewable energy. It could be real estate. It could be IoT. By the way, if nobody knows what IoT, that means the Internet of Things, which is going to be big in this country. You can look at the cannabis hemp industry. Things are happening over there. You can look at agriculture. But we need to look at disruptive, what I call industries that are going to be making an impact in this country and worldwide. And I'm just bringing that up because I really believe that's what we need to look at this juncture. Utilizing cryptocurrency, you could do that. You can utilize straight cash if you want to do that. But I'm just saying, find funds that are going to be doing things like that, and we can create our own funds. And I'm hoping that Black Wallets Matter will look at those type of industries as a way to create a fund to invest in those type of industries, because I think it's going to be significant in the future. That's all I have to say, and I will continue to listen until I get off because I got to go to work soon. But thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, brother. All right. And we got Brother Anthony. Brother Anthony.
Yes, how you doing? I like what the lady just said and what Gail just said. I do have the research with cryptocurrency. I got crypto wallets. I also bought blockchain, which is the new Internet that's coming out. The Internet is 35 years old. I want you all to go on YouTube tonight and type in blockchain. That is the new Internet coming out. I also have cryptocurrency. I also have medical marijuana, and I also get, I pay for my literature from the Caucasian. The next battery that's coming out, the resource is called lithium. You got to buy that stock. A lot of this stuff is under $1. So I have all the research, I have all the knowledge, and I can bring it to Black Wallet. I have all the information.
Well, I know about the cryptocurrency and all. That was something that the brother brought up. But I am aware of that, but I also know that we're not ready for that, though.
The new Internet is coming out.
We're not, as a people, we're not ready for that, bro. You got people who, I don't know where you live, but where I live, you still have people going into the store with $5, buying $7 worth of stuff, asking the guy for $2 credit. Mm-hmm. We not getting
this is like.
I know. I'm aware of what the blockchain is. I'm aware of the cryptocurrency, but it's an asset class. It's an asset class. There's no real value behind it besides people saying that there's value. But it's an asset class.
Blockchain actually support cryptocurrency.
No, brother, what I'm saying to you, I don't want to get into a disagreement with you.
Okay, maybe this is not for me.
I understand what the blockchain is, but what I am saying to you is, the things that we need in our community, the brother is saying wealth and this and a third and all of these things, what we need to change what's going on with our people, we need to get a lot more of them at least to like lower middle class status. That's really what we need so that we have more people. So then we got 42 million of us, if we're able to get about 15 million of them at the middle class status, now you have a big group of black folks to be talking about, hey, you need to be investing in blockchains and cryptocurrencies and things like that. Because the bottom line is, when somebody has to feed their kid, you can't go and use an Ethereum or a Litecoin or whatever that stuff. You can use a Bitcoin now in some places, but you can't use all of that stuff. And it all reverts back to the U.S. dollar. But I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into that kind of conversation tonight, because first things first, we want to focus on jobs and we want to focus on things that are happening that we need as a community that are the rudiments. We don't need we don't have you have $15,000-$20,000 to be parking up a few years until this thing make money. I bet you the average person doesn't.
No, you can actually start off with $10 to $5. It don't take much. And the thing about it, currency is going away. It's going to be two kinds of people, rich and poor. It's not going to be a middle class.
I agree, but that's
where society is going.
I get it.
If you have the opportunity to invest in something that's actually coming out where it would cost you nothing but a quarter, and you put $100 on it, you would definitely get a return. And what I did, I started off with $200. Now I'm up to like $30,000 because I flipped the money on one, then I flipped it again, then you flip it. You just don't sit on it. Once you make your money and once you get to that percent, you take that money, you put it on another stock. Then you take that money, once you get there, and then you flip it. Like the young lady said, there's new ways to make money. There's money floating in the air. I can actually grab money out the air right now. There's money all around your head. You just got to know how to get it. If you don't know how to get it, then you got to keep doing the things you've been doing in the past. That's just the way it is. Times change.
Brother, I'm not disagreeing with you. I am not disagreeing with you. This organization is not about that, though.
I'm just trying to help you bring money to the organization. That's what
I wouldn't take the membership dues of this organization and put it into anything speculative. That's why if you watch the blueprint, we talk about buying existing businesses that have already proven to generate money, that have already proven to generate income. The things that we are talking about creating and the things like that are things that have a built-in demand. What you're talking about is investing. You're talking about speculating on an asset class. I understand what you're saying. I fully understand what you're saying, and that's cool if this was like an investment group, but that's not what this is. This organization.
But that's what Gail and the young man were just saying. I was just bringing something to their attention. That's it.
Oh, okay, brother. Okay.
Yeah, but if that's the direction y'all not going, I understand. No problem.
Okay, brother. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay, Sister Debbie. Brother Benjamin, I see you in the queue, brother. Thank you for being a man of your word, for coming on board as a member too, brother. Sister Debbie?
Hello, everybody. It's very inspiring to be on these calls, so I'm glad to hear black people talking business and talking about making positive moves towards our black community. But one of the things I want to say is that, you know, the last two brothers was talking about currency and all that other stuff. One of the things is, first of all, action is action. You know, if you really care about the community, you know, you can contribute, you can sacrifice $10 a month, you know. And another thing is, those ideas are really great ideas. You know, what is really good that you might want to do is do a e-book on those kind of things and perhaps contribute to, you know, donate a percentage to Black Wallet Matters. That's a suggestion from my perspective. But and another thing I want to talk about is increasing membership. Those of us that are part of the membership, when I saw the advertisement, I turned right around. There was no convincing. I knew that this Brother Lou was sincere. He was had everything laid out, and that was enough for me to join. So, and I personally would like to, you know, participate in passing the word along. And those of us that are contributing and being part of the membership, we all should go out there and put the word out and not just have this burden on Brother Lou, but we need to go out and talk about Black Wallet Matters as well. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sister. I had a sister call me yesterday who was telling me she wanted to volunteer, and I was telling her, you know, I gave her my impression of the volunteer thing. And she said, well, at the very least, how about we do like a member drive or a recruitment drive or something like that? And that has definitely been in my head, especially for those who are currently members. But that's why I was saying that I want to try to expressing sacrifice, expressing building for the future generation, investing for the future, and things like that. Sometimes those things they fall on deaf ears. And so what we want to do is I want to try to be able to offer the members who are currently members, be able to give them something that they can offer to the people that they're talking to. Because you watched the blueprint or you read what was on the site or whatever it was, you received the message in the vein in which it was intended. But you know, there's a bunch of others who have not. And so we want to try to connect with them at, you know, on the level that they can. Hey, you want, like, I don't know, coupons to a dinner or something like that. We have a sister. Shamika, she has a restaurant in Atlanta. Maybe we buy up some coupons, some gift cards from her, and give people that incentive, you know, to go shop there. Right, so we can sit there, and then we find whoever else is a business member, and then we focus. Because I can do that. I can target the advertisement specifically to people who are in a particular location, and maybe we can do something. And actually, that idea just came to me, and Sister Shamika, I'm gonna hit you up with the thing about that idea, because that's something, right? So it's like, okay, cool. You become a member, and you get certain amount of gift certificates or coupons or whatever it is. And I mean, we would have to sit down and figure out the math with the sister, but I love you, your support, and thank you for voicing your comments, Sister Debbie. Sister Kenya,
how you doing, Brother Lou?
Peace, sister. Peace.
Okay, I just wanted to touch on two things very briefly. The first thing was, I would love the idea of having a business registry. I recently moved from Connecticut to North Carolina, and I moved to a community that's like 25 years behind where I lived in Connecticut. And no one down here can tell me, where can I find a black nail salon? Where can I find, I want to patronize the black businesses, but these people down here, they're not that advanced yet, and they're not able to point me in the right direction. So the registry is needed, especially for people like me who are relocating from one place to the other. That was one thing that I just wanted to touch base on. The other one was, I wanted to just bounce off what the gentleman said earlier about building credit. He suggested go to Capital One, get your secured credit card, and start building wealth. He's absolutely right. I just want to put a spin on that. I'm a part of a group called the Dreamcatchers. The leader of the group is a beautiful black woman. Her name is Tiffany Alishe. Her website is liverichercallenge.com. She focuses on building your credit, learning how to save, budgeting, investing, and making better financial decisions in the black community. She's basically focusing on black women, but anyone can join this group. And since March up until now, which is August, my credit score has risen about 117 to 125 points. We know it fluctuates as you use credit and as you pay it off. But if you take the advice that she's giving, she has a Facebook page called the Dreamcatchers on Facebook. She has a blog, and she has a weekly podcast. This is a group that everybody, no matter what level you are as far as education, wealth, income, it doesn't matter. You can glean something from this group that you can take back to your family and your community and help and use to help, you know, build wealth. It's a wonderful resource that people don't know about. So as the gentleman was talking about getting the secured credit card, that's wonderful. Except for I put a little twist on mine. I got a bank account at a black-owned bank. I got a secured credit card from that bank. And it was no annual fee, unlike Capital One. And the reason, just to explain briefly, the purpose of doing this is because I live in a backwards community where my light company, they do not report to credit agencies. My cable company does not report to credit agencies. Several bills I pay every month in this community do not report. So I get no quote-unquote credit for paying 100% of my bills 100% of the time. So what you do is you get a secured credit card, and you use that credit card to pay that bill. That credit card is going to report to the credit agencies, and that's how you get credit for paying bills that don't report to credit agencies. And I think that was it. That's all I wanted to say. And I was very excited to hear about the gentleman talking about the cryptocurrency. I understand that's not where your group is going, but please recognize that those of us who are at that point and we can look into that, and that is something that we can accept, those people should go for that. Where there are others that we still need to lift as we climb, I understand that those are the ones you want to focus on. But I was glad to learn something new tonight. So thanks for creating this platform. This is my first call that I've been a part of.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to just add.
So, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, sister. I appreciate that. So have you watched the blueprint?
No. I just happened to check my emails today, and I noticed I was about 30 minutes late to the call, but I just wanted to jump in. I am so fresh. I'm so green right now. Just tell me where to go. Tell me what to do.
What to do is become a member. So you go to the website and you click. You're on a town hall. I go over the blueprint. I basically go over it. But this call was a little different because I wanted to just really get to the bottom line. And you basically understand where we are. We are to the point where we just need to stop talking and we need to actually start taking action. The blueprint explains how we go from zero to where we actually want to go, especially in regards to so the other brother, Daoud, he said that we need a cultural shift and, you know, some of these other different things. And the blueprint talks about how we are able to provide those things to those in need in the community. Again, like I said, you know, we're focused on jobs. We're focused on dealing with single black mothers, which represent 70% of the people living at or below the poverty line. We are focused on helping fathers, black men who are the heads of their household and who are trying to do something, who may be struggling. And then we are focused on hiring lawyers and lobbyists so that this organization can have some political representation and protection, especially when we help these young black kids, when they start changing and they start improving and having different things going on, they need protections. So that's what this organization is focused on. And so you can go to the website, you can click the menu button, you can watch the blueprint, you can click.
I can do that.
Then that will do that, and then you can become a member. There's a link that says become a member. You can listen to the town hall that's there, but again, you're already on one, so you don't really need that, and you're speaking directly to me. So,
I have a question.
Yes.
How do we get information about how the Jewish people do what they do? I've seen phenomenal things about how they pay for families to move back to Israel if they so choose. They call it an Aliyah, I think it is. They do phenomenal things in their community. Has anyone ever like gotten the insight on how they do what they do?
Yep.
Where can I learn this?
Before launching this organization, I read this book called The Jewish Phenomenon. There's a guy, he gives up the whole thing. He talks about exactly how the Jews came out of the Holocaust and all these other things, how they specifically focused on, they came here, they were seamstress and things like that in Delancey Street, there's Lower East Side in Manhattan. They were seamstress. They invented the ready-to-wear clothing industry. They invented Hollywood. They invented a lot of different industries. And they worked hard, and they said, what we are going to do is our next generation, our kids and whatever else, they're going to be lawyers, and they're going to be accountants, and they're going to be bankers. So the people, the first generation said, we're going to do the grunt work, and we're going to put our kids, and we're going to make it better for our kids. The Jewish people have what's called portable skills. Because they were kicked out of so many different places throughout history, right, they had to learn skills that they could take with them everywhere. They weren't allowed to own land, so they couldn't be like farmers. Physically they're not like strong people or whatever. So they're not like athletes, they're not, you know, things like that.
Laborers.
So they have started different, they started learning different trades, and it just so happens that the different trades and the different skills that they had translated very well when they came here to America, and they have worked in unison. You got Russian Jews, you got you got all kinds of weird different types of Jewish people, but they all move in unison. Yo, it's crazy. You got to read.
Yes,
the book.
They all move in unity. Yes, they do.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
something I want to teach my son. My son is in pre-K. He has been a credit union member since he's 3 years old. He doesn't care if he only has $17 to deposit in his account. He loves counting his money. He loves going to the bank, standing on the chair, talking to the people at the talking to the tellers, inquiring about what his balance is. He's an awesome little boy, but I feel lost. I feel like there's things that I want to know myself that I can't even teach my son, like how the Jews do what they do. I want to know it. I want to teach it to my baby. So I got to hurry up and learn a lot of things.
Right.
So I'm going to buy this book, I'm going to watch the blueprint, and I'm going to get off the phone and give other people a chance to talk to you. Thank you, Brother Lou.
All right. Peace, Sister Kenya. Peace. Brother Ben, let me let Sister Sony get a word in real quick. Brother Gerard, what's up? Peace. I appreciate you being a man of your word coming in. Let me give Sister Sony a shot to talk, and then I will get to you two brothers. Peace, Sister.
Brother Lou.
Yes.
Hello to everybody on the call. I kind of enjoyed the evening. I have to take off in order to get the call, to participate, I should say, in the call. But first off, I want to say that a child was killed here in Detroit, and he was killed by Michigan State police officer. The child was riding on a four-wheel vehicle, something like a go-kart type of thing. I don't know exactly what it was. But this state police officer leaned out the window and tased him. He's 15 years old. And he ran into a truck after he was tased, and he was killed. And I'm just saying that we got a lot of ideas, but we really need money because we really have to do things. I wanted to know, is there any way you could like when you have a registration, put a fund button on there in case some of us sometime get extra money during the month where we can donate during the month that, you know, has nothing to do with our
membership, right?
Right. So that we can, you know, like right now, I know I could do the $10 without batting an eye, but I know I get the money during the month.
Right.
I just commit to that money because, you know, sometimes it comes, sometimes, you know, you play the lottery and, you know, lawsuits come through. So, I mean, I wish that we could have something that where we can just donate in between if we get extra money in between, because this is really, really bad for us. We are having a hard time, and we are losing our young black males, and it is just disturbing to me.
I will set that up. You're talking about setting something up. I think this is about the second time. So I will put a button there and then, you know what, and I think there are some people who come through sometime and they're like, hey, you know, I just want to contribute something, you know,
right,
one time or whatever. Right. I will do that. I will put that there. I will. I got to think of the best way to do it. I'm wondering if it should be on the Become a Member page or should I put it on a different page? But I'll figure that out and I'll get that up there. Yes.
Okay. I think I had one more thing to say, but that was really on my heart. Oh, the secured credit card. I didn't know anything about that. I turned my nose up at credit cards, but I'll be looking into that.
When the brother said it to me too, I was like, "What?" And then the sister just said, and then she just said they got one with no annual fee. So I got to compare the interest rate because you pay your cell phone bill and you know your light.
Nothing about that until tonight. I knew absolutely. I always say it's a secure credit card. Don't nobody need that. Okay, that's about all I had to say.
Thank you so much.
I just hit that button. So if I have an extra $5 or $10 in between, I'd be glad to donate it.
Thank you. Yep, I'll put it on there. I'll get it on there.
Okay, thank you. Yep. You all have a good night. I appreciate all the brothers and sisters.
All right, peace.
Good night.
Brother Ben.
She basically kind of just covered what I was about to ask about adding that button in there. I was going to ask you as well because you say you build websites.
I'm figure out where I want to put it. I don't know if I
want to create a landing page for it.
Yeah, no, I know, but it still has to be on the menu somewhere. I'll figure out
miscellaneous button or like funding button, support.
Yep. I'm thinking about something maybe up at the top, like, hey, you know, just show some support. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing on my site at the time. But yeah, she kind of covered what we were just talking about. Also as well, I just wanted to cover. I heard a couple of people mention, like the guy mentioned with the cryptocurrency. I guess what the thing is just basically kind of educating ourselves as just people as when we even get on these phone calls. I heard a couple of people say turning nose. I've always caught myself about to turn my nose up about a couple of things, but we got to get out of that as people because there's a lot of different ideas, and we got to understand we are the creators out there. And a lot of these different ideas that we be hearing, we just turn our nose up, but those are the things that we're looking for anyway, and it's the purpose of the phone call. So,
I'm gonna tell you what usually happens on these calls. I am deeply immersed in that cryptocurrency, in that information, that world, right? I'm working with someone right now to bring out, to you know, help them with their ICO. I know from what I'm seeing, it is an asset class. People who are way smarter than all of us put together don't know what they're doing, aside from like the guy who's creating the Ethereum. So he's working with my partner on the ICO. You understand what I'm saying? He made the thing. Right, and he's talking about how we can use the ether, which is the actual currency in the thing. He's saying how we can use the thing. There is no actual value yet. There is no value. It's like, okay, banks and Microsoft and all these people, they're speculating, and yes, that's maybe where things are going. But I'm saying when you have people who aren't able to, like some of my tenants, right? They don't have like milk and cereal all the time for the kids. They're not even.
No, trust me. I get it. Only thing I was saying is created like an information button for people that want to hear information about that. Like if that brother want to talk about that, they can click a link where we can offer it on the Black Wallace Matter page where they can click a link and go and they can go and talk about that or learn about that from him. Where it doesn't have to be like all on the page. As I was saying, we can offer different services and things of that nature to the people that do want to actually hear about it. Me, I'm interested, but to be honest with you, it'd be months before I even think about it.
I'm
on your level because I got people that's down in Houston right now that work for me that just lost their house. I'm trying to help with some funding on that. Like that's where my mind is at. So I get you. But all I'm saying is that when people get on the call, we don't want to miss out on that if it does become of some value or whatever, maybe in the future. But just keep that person in touch. But we'll be like, look, we'll share the information. Or we'll find a way to share the information, but we're not going to cover that on a call right now. Because it may be of some interest and it may be of some value, or it may be of some other kind of way somebody look at it and make some value out of it that is, you know, monetary right now that we can actually use.
Okay.
Because like I said, I come across people every day that I'll be like, damn, that's some creative stuff. Like I said, I talk to over 100 people a week just going door to door. You know, it's like that's why I was actually, like I said, I'm on that page with you where I was, like I said, I was going to start putting together, like, hey, I'm like, look, I'm going to find all the plumbers in the neighborhood, all the guys that work on cars, all things like this. This way we can generate money and start keeping it right here in our own neighborhood. These people got skills and services, but nobody knows about you. But I'm in advertising and marketing. What ways can we do that? Like that sister that was just on there, she said she got a nail salon or hair salon out there in Connecticut. We can be, all the members that's on here can be sharing that for her. And be sending people to her business. That's what I mean by all of us working together. Every member that's on here that has a business need to be sharing each other's businesses.
Right.
But but you know, like I said, in making that money and all that money that's coming in, take 10% or something out of it. All your online services. If it's a $10,000 a month, you got 10% coming out. That's $1,000 towards Black Wallets Matter instead of that $50 a month.
Hey brother, listen. It sounds good. We gotta talk behind the scenes. We gotta talk behind the scenes, brother, because the brother Daoud, he pretty much said what the reality of it is, but I don't wanna get into that now.
We can bridge the gap some kind of way. We'll talk behind the scenes about it. But yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I'm gonna get off. I got you.
All right, cool. Brother. Hello, Brother Gerard.
Yes, Brother Lou. I'm going to be real quick. I just wanted to say thank you for throwing that book recommendation out. I actually run a book club out here in Atlanta called Black Men Read. And so we get together once a month. We're going to get together next Thursday. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to them about this. And if you have some language that you want me to send out to my list, I have almost 350 people now on my list. Very high quality, kind of within the demographic, and I'd be more than happy to send out something to get them involved, because I think if nothing else, folks should be able to at least check out the call and, $10. I mean, I'm hearing everyone on the call, and I think that, you know, you might not agree with everything that everyone is saying on the call, but I think it's making a step in a positive direction compared to a lot of the talking that we may see on social media or whatever. So yeah, just let me know and I can put something together and send it on your behalf.
All right, cool. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Like I said, so the book is called The Jewish Phenomenon, and that dude breaks down everything. I want to say this when the sister was on the call. This is how, like, this organization is kind of, like, structured based on that. So I researched AARP, the NRA, I researched the LGBT community, I researched Jewish community, I researched all people who have been successful, who America did not like, who America does not like, right? And they still have found a way to thrive and succeed anyway. And what the Jewish community has, they have a membership, the synagogue. So unlike our churches where you go in and then they, you know, get 10%, you know, your tithes or whatever every Sunday, they, you know, out of each paycheck, the synagogues have a membership structure. They pay their monthly per family, and I forgot how much it actually equals or whatever, but they pay their money into that. What the Jewish community does, though, is they're able to get no-interest loans from their synagogues. And they get the money from the no-interest loan, and then they go and they open up these businesses. They pay the money back, but they also provide an opportunity to another member as, I guess that's kind of, you know, as another Jewish person, as a way of it being, like, I guess, interest. And so now you have another guy who's learning a trade or a skill or whoever it is, and then he goes and he creates a business. The other thing too, the Jewish stores, their prices are actually a little bit higher, but they know that that store is actually contributing back to the synagogues. So, but it's a religious and cultural thing for them. So we have that gap that we have to bridge. And the only way that I think that we're going to do it is if we start with the babies. I don't think that we're going to be able to talk to a bunch of adults and have them change their mind. What I believe we will be able to do is if we're able to tell his brother, hey, man, get off the corner, stop selling drugs, stop banging, whatever it is you're doing, here's a job, I think that brother would be more apt to taking advantage of that, doing that, as opposed to us just talking at him or telling him, yo, you know what you're doing. So, I, you know, like I said, I'm all into action. I'm all into viable, logical things. That's what I'm into. So I don't want to. So I don't want someone saying, you know, talking theory. I want things that are actionable, things that make sense. And so this, again, like I said, this was no dig on the cryptocurrency thing or whatever it is. But I know that it is an esoteric type. It's an asset class, and it requires a whole other different way of thinking. And, you know, we, like I said, we're trying to really change what's going on in the black community. A few black folks who have money going and making even more money, that's not going to help us as a people. We look at our celebrities. They have the money. You know, it's not going back to us. So we need an organization of people who say we're going to put some systems in place that are going to benefit us. Then the other thing is, you know, the way that we plan on turning our money, and again, like I said, I didn't go over it at the beginning of the call, and I should have. The way that we plan on doing it is not only the monetary gain, we also need to put people to work. That's something that I'm modeling from the Jewish community. So not only do the Jewish people give money back to their synagogue when they create their businesses, they hire other Jewish people. They help other Jewish families. So they give this guy a good paying job. Now he's able to provide for his family, which is a Jewish wife and a bunch of Jewish kids. Now, you know, the milk and welfare and all of that, that's another part of the game. But I'm just saying, that's how I modeled this. So, you know, I just wanted to, I just wanted to reiterate that, and no offense to any of the brothers, I wasn't being disrespectful or anything like that. If I would have followed my protocol at the beginning of the call, I would have let it known, you know, there are different opportunities, different things that are available, but you know, these are the priorities of the organization, and this is where we like to kind of keep our discussions. That's normally what happens. So. You have anything else you want to say in anything you want to say in conclusion, brother?
Oh, you talking about me?
Yes. Do you have anything?
Oh yeah. No. I think this is a good platform, and let's just see. You know, get the momentum going. Okay. And I already ordered that book too, by the way. So. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Okay, cool. Great. All right.
Yep.
Brother Jonathan. Brother.
Hey, how's it going?
Peace, brother.
Yeah, I was just wanted to, because, you know, my philosophy is we have a systemic problem and we need a systemic solution.
Hey, brother, I already jacked you for that at the beginning of the call. I don't know if you was here. I definitely gave you credit. I told.
Okay, because how that works, in my view, is whatever's available to us now, we need to create an economic or social viable product for ourselves. Now, when the ladies called in, and me and her had a meeting the other day, a very nice meeting as well. When she talked about the state police getting the black guy killed, and we need a way to fund our issues, maybe separately from Black Wallace Matter. Mm-hmm. How we can go about doing that is, whenever you watch the news and there's a tragic event, somebody's get killed or whatever it is, they have a GoFundMe come up. We need to create an economic alternative for our needs, and I would call that a fund us button that you could put on there for people of African descent to just who may not want to pay a monthly membership, but may just want to just fund us for specific or in general, just a one-time thing that you know, they have to worry about no reoccurring bill or anything like that. Something they can just drop, you know, $10, $15 in, $20 in, and be done with it. So they already have a GoFundMe. We can have a GoFundUs, and that would target specifically our people and our needs. And you can, like, link that to your page. And if anybody else that want to come in that's a business owner or who else have a website or something like that, they can have a, they can share that link on each page, and has nothing to do with you know, a reoccurring payment or whatever. Just something that a GoFundUs page on each link of whoever business that want to open up through the Black Wallace Matter network, and you have after a while you have hundreds of links connected of a bunch of one-time payments. I think that'd be a good way to do that.
Sister Bonnie just said the same thing. Sister Sony, that you just said, she said it, and Sister Bonnie just texted me and said the same thing. So I told her, yes, that's something. So you guys just gave me something. It's at the top of my to-do list right now. I'm opening up my to-do list, so I'll get it done tomorrow. I'll get it done tomorrow. And we'll see what happens. I'll throw some traffic at it, and we'll see. Because you know it can't hurt, right?
It can't hurt.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll set that up, brother.
All right, man.
And I'll probably will call you to kind of like reiterate. Are you saying to raise money for a specific purpose, or are you just saying for the objective that this organization has?
Just in general, like let's say, like I say, the lady called in today, say the police got the guy killed, and she need help.
Okay.
Then you can go to the Fund Us page, and then you can like hashtag whatever event that you want this money to go to. And when whoever want to contribute for that, they will hashtag it. And if you want to, you know, like I say, put $10 in, put a hashtag, you know, Detroit police killing, and all the money up under that hashtag will go straight to that issue.
Okay, all right. All right, so here's the other thing, though, right? So if you're saying all of that, you're basically giving me another job because I have to track. First, I would have to find. So let's say you're saying this thing is Detroit police killing. We're sending money where to who?
Whoever, like the parent.
But that's what I'm saying. See, but so you just gave me another job, and I don't need another job. I don't need to be trying to track down, you know, staying on top of events like that. That's why I said we got to call and we got to find out what's going on. Because I know if you guys want to do that locally, that's one thing. But then
because I know people call from all over. You know, they call from all over, and that's just something that if somebody in Detroit is a member and something like that happened to somebody in our network, then that could be something that people from all over can help contribute to their cause. I'm not saying just for people. In general, somebody that's in our network, so that way, if something happened, and we could say, well, you know, if you was part of the network, you could have put it on our page, and people would have helped you, you know, pay for that, and that would encourage more people to join.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, we gotta talk. Yeah, we gotta talk a little bit more about that because it sounds like you're giving me another job, because if I got to go and start tracking who, what, when, why, how, finding people, doing all that, I'll tell you right now, I'm not doing all that because I got my hands full with this, and we don't have enough. I don't have anybody helping me with doing with any of the administrative stuff. You know, you call Black Wallace Matter, you speak to me. You email Black Wallace Matter, you speak to me. So, and like I said, I'm developing what's going on the site. I'm doing it. We will talk to so I can fully understand what you mean, though.
All right. All right, bro.
Sister Bonnie.
Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening, Brother Lou.
Peace, sister. Peace.
I just want to elaborate on this last brother, what he just said. There are, I know there's one, and I think there's two crowdfunding sites that are all Black-owned. I'll check into it and see what can be done that might help this family in Detroit and how we can go about to do that. But I got a suggestion. I know we don't have a lot of members, but we got enough members where some of us can take on some of the stuff that you're doing and help out where you're not just buried under everything and trying to do it all yourself. This would be something that I would have no problem with checking into and getting set up, getting information. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. I'm going to, I guess I got to put a, I guess I have to put, put like, I guess a notification or something in the, on the back end of the website where, in the members area where it's like, if members have something that you guys want to work on together. Actually, no, that's what the Facebook group is for. The Facebook group is for that. Remember a few, that was months ago. People said, hey, you know, can we have a members group so we all can work together and do this? If you guys want to start doing these types of things and you want to work it out amongst yourselves or whatever, I have absolutely no problem. The group is there. I created the group. So if you remember, someone was saying this was at the beginning when we start talking about the directory idea. So it was like, okay, cool. Everyone list their skills. Everyone list their businesses. I mean, okay. Yeah. So you can.
I must admit that, but there's a Facebook page out there already.
There's a for Black Wallace Matter. We have a group. We have a page. A group on Facebook for everyone to. Well, I started it because members were saying, "Hey, how about we do this? How about we do that?" And I was like, "Listen, you guys can work together and." Do you know create any additional things that you want to do, especially when it comes to you know you guys saying all right let's volunteer or let's do this, and I was saying all right cool here's the group you guys can work together on that while I'm working on this.
What's the name of the group? Because I haven't seen it.
It's called Black Wallace Matter Community Builders and Thinkers, and you should have received the link because I sent the email. I will send you another. I will post it. I will put it in the members area. I will put the group think link in the members area so you can look on your in the sidebar, look in your members area, and you'll see it.
Okay. Right. I would like to work with that lady from Detroit on that because we do need that draft.
Yep, she's in the queue right behind you. She's in the queue right. Yep. Okay. Hold on. Let me unmute her. Let me leave you. Hold on for a second. Oh, shoot. Did I just kick you out, Sister Bonnie? Sister Bonnie. Sister Bonnie, where are you? Did I just hang? No, I didn't. Hold on. She wants to talk to you. There you go. Sister Sony, Sister Bonnie.
Sister Bonnie, how are you? I'm okay. I think people misunderstood what I was saying. I was asking Brother Lou if he would create a general fund for Black Wallets Matter. I wasn't looking for a fund for the family in particular. I brought it up just for an example to show people how desperately we need money. But this family, they it's something that I saw on the news, been on the news all week, and I just saw this evening that the family has acquired a big-time lawyer. His name is Jeffrey Feiger, if anybody familiar with Michigan. And Jeffrey Feiger filed a...
And I'm from Grand Rapids.
Okay, well, Jeffrey Feiger filed a $50 million lawsuit against the state. But I was just... We need a general fund for Black Wallets Matter, not for stuff, different things that's going on. Because if we get enough money to fund Black Wallets Matter, then we could be able to attack some of these problems that we're having, like the young man getting killed.
Yep.
All right,
I agree.
Thank
I totally
you.
Agree
thank
with that.
All right.
Okay,
thank
I just wanted to
you.
Bring
thank
some clarity.
Yep,
okay.
You.
Good night, everybody.
I appreciate it.
I enjoyed the call. Okay.
It is.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. It is 11:34. We have definitely gone past our normal hour, our time. Yeah. So I am going to end this call. If anyone who is currently not a member, if you are not going to be a member, or if you aren't thinking about becoming a member, press *6. Tell me why, and tell me what we need to give you in exchange to become a member. What will you value to become a member? You can have anything except for my son and my daughter. Just tell me what you value. So that we can see what's going on here. Sister Janika, okay, talk to me.
Hi, good night.
Good night.
What I wanted to add very quickly, I started looking into raising our people higher when my father was murdered 2 years back, and the person who he lived with stole the donation money. And so essentially I grew up with Caribbean parents who taught me the values of saving, and I didn't know what I was saving for or why I was saving, but years later I realized that essentially I was saving for this event, and I just said to myself, I have to do better. My people have to do better. My father was a DJ when he was murdered, and no investments, no nothing, right? No bank account, no nothing. And I was fortunate enough to marry an accountant, and at the age of 25 and 26, we were already making close to $90,000 and looking to invest in a single-family home so that we can rent it out at this age, right? And there's not many people at our age that are looking into those things. My husband right now does stocks, and I'm looking into opening my own grooming business. So that's just to say our people really need to do better. But one of the issues that I found was that when our people get the opportunity to do something, we're more fearful in what to do with that money. So, for example, if we have, I'm just making something up, $5,000, it's similar to having one chance to flip that $5,000. And if I mess up that one chance, then what? Then I'm screwed and I got to spend the rest of my life paying it back. So I think one of those issues is that we just feel like we have one chance and one time to get it right, which is not necessarily true. One way that besides stocks, what we were talking about earlier, but one way to help build doing research I found was putting our younger siblings, for those of us that have good credit already, putting our younger siblings, for example, our one-year-old nieces and nephews, putting them on our good credit account, if that makes sense. So I would essentially take let's say my sister, who is a month old, and take her her social and put her as an authorized user on my credit card. I wouldn't necessarily give a 1 month old a credit card to use, ever give it to her for that matter. But she can use my good history, my good accreditation, in order to build hers. So that's one way we can build wealth. Every 3 months, I called my credit card company and asked them to raise the limit on my credit cards. A lot of us are not doing that, lowering our APRs, our interest rates on our credit cards. A lot of us are not doing that. If we can make less payments to our credit cards, why not? High-yield savings accounts. A lot of us have no idea what that even means, right? If we're in Bank of America and we're yielding 0.0000 of a half of a percent every month versus yielding 1.4% every month, that makes a difference too. So I think that just these small ways to build our wealth, if we can see it coming in, if it can affect us directly, that'll be one way where we'll be incented to move. There was a young lady that mentioned the Live Richer Challenge. Fortunately, she's on Facebook where she can reach a lot of people, but unfortunately, it's not getting directly to the people who need it. And that's unfortunate. I think one of the ways that we can do it is by going door to door or like doing this little community meetings in our own neighborhoods and kind of saying, listen, if you have a low credit score, you don't have to pay $100 a month to get certain things removed from your credit report. You can actually do that for free, right? So we just need people to get directly to our communities, directly going door to door, just helping out our people with certain things. And I think if we touch them once, right, by even saying, hey, put that little $500 in a high-yield savings account and build the extra $1 or $2 extra a month and use that to put it to Black Wallets Matter. I think if it touches us directly, then it will incentivize us to go and put money toward the organization.
Okay. That is so many of the I just learned a lot of new things. So thank you for that. But so the Black Wall Street Project, and again, because I didn't follow the script, that will learn me. I will not do that next week. So I outlined what some of the things, some of the topics that will be discussed in the Black Wall Street Project. It is this financial literacy type information. It is for people to build their personal wealth and, you know, things like that. And then that information is there and it's contained, like I said, as a separate unit or as a separate entity. It's not a separate entity, but as a separate area from Black Wallets Matter, because we are more focused on the social side. And I do understand that if we don't address the individual, then we can never hope to, you know, impact or change things as a collective. So I do understand that. And so we intend on creating that type of education, that type of information. Well, not exactly what you outlined, because I didn't know what you just said, and this is about the first time that I heard it, especially in regards to what you said, a high yield savings account and things like that.
They're called money marketing accounts.
I'm sorry?
They're called money marketing accounts.
Money market account. Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. So I do know about that. Yeah, right. So I do know that. I do know that some of the people that I speak to though, in regards to this, they're like, listen, I don't even have enough to pay blah blah blah. And what happens is when if you're comfortable now, you're paying your bills, if you're doing that, your mindset is really, really different as opposed to somebody who's in survival mode. And so for some of us, maybe we've never been.
For those people who have those credit cards, right, to lower the APRs, and why don't we use our advantage? I said, for even those people who use credit cards, who have like massive credit card debts, we call our credit card companies to lower our APRs per month. They do that for free without affecting our credit scores, or even using the power of balance transfers. A lot of us get those offers in the mail and we just throw them out because we have no idea what they are. Just even recently, I got an offer for 21 months of balance transfers, and people have no idea what a balance transfer is, and I'd be paying 0% for 21 months on this credit card balance. So I mean, I'm also speaking for the individual that is in survival mode, that individual that has massive credit card debt, or Discover has it where they have 0% on purchases for the next 12 months. They have a lot of those offers. So our people need to know that those things are available.
Your survival mode and my survival mode is way different. I'm thinking about people who they don't even have credit cards. They don't have bank accounts. Again, like I said, living I mean, like, no stretch of the credit, like, whatever cash they get is what they need to live on. That's essentially who I'm thinking about. So, again, like I said, I didn't start the call off the way that I normally do, but I'm talking about, like, a lot of the single black women who are living at or below the poverty level. They don't even have credit cards. They're not even in the banking systems and things like that. But that's not to say that the people that we need in the organization, those are the people that we need. People who do have credit cards, people who are in the banking system, and who probably haven't made good financial choices, you know, from a lack of education or whatever it is. So again, you know, so I'm not disagreeing with you is what I'm saying. I'm just thinking. You know, I know that a lot of this information, it circulates out there. It falls on deaf ears because, you know, the bottom line is they don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear it. Our people don't want to hear it. They just want to have fun. They you know, they'll say, I don't have any money. Bet you they find a way to get money to go out. They'll find money to buy an outfit. They will find money to buy an outfit and go out. I see it. So, you know, we got a lot that we're dealing with, you know, in regards to our people and what we need to do. But, sister, are you considering becoming a member, though? That's the question. And if not, what's holding you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%. 100%. As a matter of fact, when you referred the website to the young lady, I did a quick Google search, and I'm on here reading some of the questions that you guys have. So, yes, I am. Join.
Thank you very much. And then we just had Brother Rodney become a member too. Is that you down there, Brother Rob 817? Is that, are you that brother?
Yeah, that's me. I'm down here in Fort Worth, Texas.
Thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us and coming on board. Sister Janika, we are going to wrap this up. Actually, you know what? You know what? If you guys still want to stay on, we'll stay on. My kids are upstairs, they're quiet. I had a few other things. So we finish with what the organization, what the conversation is. We still got Brother Anthony on the call. We have Brother Jonathan and we have Sister Kenya. So now if you got, and Sister Gail. So if you guys want to have a financial literacy discussion, if you want to start talking about the wealth and things like that, we have Sister Joyce. We have quite a few people still hanging out. So if you guys want to talk about that now, we can do that. So Sister Gail, if you're still with us, Sister Kenya, Brother Anthony, if you're still with us, now we can start talking about this stuff because we are going to conclude the social aspect of the call. Sister Kenya, Sister Zanika, do you have anything else you want to add? In conclusion?
No, sir.
No, okay. All right. Sister Kenya. What am I doing? Okay.
Hi, Brother Dave.
Peace.
Okay. I understand what you're saying about, you know, your idea of struggle mode. I just want people to understand, I know I sound financially literate. That's because I'm a dream catcher. I was that person that, you know, Robert Peter to pay Paul, decided, you know, paying bills on late notices, wondering what am I going to do about groceries, operating off of $15 worth of gas money every week. I was that person. I had no credit. I had zero credit utilization. I couldn't get a credit card, not because I have a lot of debt, but because I was not using credit. And that's where the secured card came in. I do business with the worst bank in the world, Wells Fargo. I got my tax return. I took $400 of my money to Wells Fargo and said, I need a secured card. And they gave it to me. My credit score jumped 97 points with Equifax immediately, 96 points with TransUnion immediately, just because I got that card. And from getting that one card, I was able to get four more other cards, which increases my total overall credit limit. And you just keep your credit utilization under 30%, pay your bills 100% every month, and your credit goes up. But once you start, stop going to the check cashing places, paying them that money, start banking at a bank. I forgot what I was going to say, but what I'm trying to point out is for all the people out there that feel like, oh, man, I'm struggling. I can't do this. How can I do this and I don't have any money? Honey, you don't have any money. You're going to keep on having no money if you don't do something different. So you have to put that put out there. Some of these banks want $200 for a secure card. Wells Fargo just happens to want $300 for a secure card. But guess what? As long as my balance is zero, I can walk back into Wells Fargo and give them more money and say, listen, can you add $200 to my limit? Here's $200. They will do it. It doesn't have to be approved. They will do it. I can increase my own limit anytime I want to. Guess what? Now I'm empowered to better my financial situation. I don't need approval from God knows who's on the other end of this you know, who's on the other side of that desk at the bank, you know? So for all those people that feel like, oh, I'm struggling, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet, well, honey, what you doing not working? You might as well do something different. So like the young lady was talking about, you know, rolling over your balances from one credit card to the next. You have to learn about these things. And the group that Tiffany has, I just want you guys to know it's free. Everything, all the advice she gives you, all the different challenges she has to help you improve your credit, help you improve your savings, everything is free. She has partnered with IKEA. She has partnered with other big companies that help her cover the cost of her website. She has a website. She has a Facebook group. She has a blog. We have accountability partners that we all talk to every – I have someone that checks in with me every week to make sure I'm depositing the money in my savings account that I said I was – that I pledged to do. So now because I'm budgeting and I can include a lot more things in my monthly budget, I can include my Black Wallets Matter membership into my budget, and I will never miss the money. So you have to financially empower these people to be able to afford things like your Black Wallets Matter membership. But I understand what you mean by struggling, and I was that person, and I'm no longer that person. So you got to make these moves. That was the point I wanted to make. That was it.
Okay. So let me just give you like a brief overview of some of the things that we were talking about that I want to include in this Black Wall Street project. So like I said, I speak with people behind the scenes. Most people, like I said, I'm not making enough money every month, no matter what's going on. So one of the goals is to, the first thing was to help people get their financial house in order. So that is to fully understand what their current budget is, what their current expenses are, you know, find out if there's a gap, if there's a shortfall, or if there's a surplus. If there's a surplus, then it will help. It will tell them how to allocate that surplus. So you need to start saving 10, 15, 20% automatically. You need to be putting that money someplace. I was trying to think of, hold on, I'm going to put you on mute, sister. So I am looking for where should be one of the best places for someone to park that money, and they can earn a decent interest rate. And I was actually looking at insurance vehicles because that's something that I had learned within that that Jewish phenomenon book. The Jewish community, they leverage insurance like no other. And there are insurance policies where you can put your money in there and then you're able to borrow against it. You're able to use that cash, you know, take out that cash value or borrow against it, especially now since we're in a low interest rate environment. And then you can take that money and go and make an investment. As far as I'm concerned, for people who do not currently have the amount of income that they want, they should be investing in a business. They should be looking to buy an existing business. Now, there will be some people who will not be able to save that kind of money. And so the second module that we were going to do is we will teach them how to start online businesses and create money from thin air. That these are very zero risk businesses, essentially. There is no risk, very little upfront investment. That will help supplement their income. They would have to put in sweat equity. They will have to put in elbow grease. From there, we would also offer them the opportunity for promoting the program, and that will allow them to earn additional income. So now they have a dual flank approach, which is they can promote the organization, which is going to help people get, you know, help people with financial literacy, and it's going to help people with different other strategies to start or create online businesses. one. And then, so for people who already have businesses, we are going to have a module that's called Facebook Marketing for Black Businesses, and that will help people get more visibility and more marketing, right? So, like Sister Janika said, a lot of our brothers and sisters, they are hesitant to invest money in certain places. As I was trying to explain to the other brother earlier, we are hesitant because we don't have a culture of investing. That's what it is. I mean, so a lot of folks don't like hearing things that are true about us because it's hurtful, but all you have to do is take a look around. I mean, if we were people who if it was our culture to go around investing, then guess what? We wouldn't be having these conversations about a lack of wealth in our community because we would have it. And then there's been research done where even if you look at high income or high net worth Black folks, if you look at them and you look at what they do with their money as compared to white people or any other kind of ethnic group, because it's not even just white people, because Asians and Africans are actually doing better financially than everybody else. If you look at what they do with their money, they heavily invest back into their businesses, back into themselves. Rich Black folks spend their money. That's what the data says. But so like I said, so we have Facebook Marketing for Black Businesses. And then from there, then we're going to continually add information multiple streams of income. The multiple streams of income aspect will help people create different types of businesses or, you know, things that they could do locally. One of them is actually training people how to fix cell phone screens and things like that. I forgot if it was Shark Tank or it was one of these shows that I watch. I only watch business shows. And they took a bunch of veterans and they taught veterans how to repair cell phones and tablets and things like that. And this dude has, like, I think a $2 or $3 million a year business. That is definitely something that we could train people and teach them to do. And we all know people with broken screens. Another thing that we can teach them within the multiple streams of income is junk removal and clean out services. It costs nothing to start those types of businesses. You can just go and grab, well, I mean, it costs a few dollars in terms of you getting a van or a truck, but you really can start it by renting a van or a truck from U-Haul or going to go find a beat up van for $500-$600 and you and your boy go around cleaning out businesses. So I just developed a website for a guy who had a junk removal business, and he started off with one beat up van, and now he has four dump trucks, right? That's just the tip of the iceberg. So we have a whole bunch of other different things that we're going to be teaching them in this Black Wall Street project. The thing about it is I'm trying to get So some of the things that I don't know, I only like to talk about things that I do know. This whole credit thing, I don't know anything about that. I do know about real estate. We will have some modules in there, but I'm not a fixer, flipper, rehabber. I'm a landlord. So I will talk about the realities of that business and things like that, and how people could use it to their advantage. But that's usually when you have lump sums of money and now you need to park it someplace safe so that you can get the type of return on investment or a larger return on investment as opposed to a bank. So that is essentially what the Black Wall Street Project will entail. And I think that that will go over well. I think that that will resonate with a lot of people on social media, a lot of people, you know, online, or a lot of Black folks across what's going on. They're able to, like, hey, what? I'm able to make money? Yes. You're able to make money, and you're able to learn something that's good for you. And, you know, that's the dream, that's the vision. So I am glad to hear that a lot of people came on the call, and they were interested in the business aspect and the wealth building and the monetary aspect of what this organization is about, or, you know, that component of it. But as the other brother said, we didn't even have 100 people on a call. We used to, But I know that's it's seasonal, right? We're towards the end of the summer. People are getting ready for this weekend and things like that. I know that this is seasonal because normally on these calls, especially as we've grown, we've had 100-some-odd people on. So that concludes my take on it. Sister Gail, do you want to say anything about your networking or whatever while we still have people? Because we have a bunch of people that are hanging out. And I really don't have too much to do today, so I don't have a problem with letting the call run a little late tonight. Sister Gail, are you still with us?
Sister Kenya, you do. I'm
no,
unmuted.
No, no, I know, I know, I know. I still have you. No, I know. I know. I have you unmuted. All right, Brother Anthony, do you want to talk about the opportunities, the investing opportunities now? Okay, there's Sister Gail. All right, thank you, Sister Kenya. Sister Gail.
Okay, sorry about that. I was talking. I thought you could hear me. But I'll go ahead, and I have a few things I'm going to send to you, and then maybe we can talk a little bit later. Some of the modules we'll be able to incorporate in what you're doing as well. So, but I think we can talk about it, and I'd like to send you a couple of videos so that you can get a good understanding of what we're doing. Okay?
Okay, no problem.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll do that.
Yes, Sister Joyce, I just got your message. You are 100% correct. Can't wait till we have more members so that we can grow this thing to the next level. Like I said, so one of the things that we want to focus on immediately, what I think that the organization would be able to do without a lot of money, would definitely be able to run around and try to get a lot of these young men and women, if possible, trying to help them get their CDL licenses and let them start driving. Someone mentioned Amazon. No, that was someone else who I was talking to. Amazon, FedEx, and all of these other people, they are growing by leaps and bounds, and they're going to need drivers. Commerce, this country moves across the road on wheels, right? So that stuff coming from China on these boats or whatever it is, it has to move across the country. And we need to get these young men out of the hood. We need to send them across the country. We need to let them see how other people live all across the country outside of the neighborhoods that they live in. And they need to earn a good income. As the other sister said, there needs to be some type of instruction or mentoring going on so that they understand that, hey, listen, we're giving you this opportunity. This is a code of conduct. This is what we expect from you when you're on the road. This is what we expect for you when you're doing business with these companies and so on and so forth. And here's what we believe or think that you should be doing in regards to the to giving back or to reaching back in your community to pulling in more brothers or, you know, your contemporaries, right? So that's how I think we could have a serious effect here in this with what we're talking about. Sister Gail. Yes.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to just quickly say one thing. One business that we do, you know, you start your business and you basically start for free. And so you're not having to invest anything in the beginning. You start for free, and then once you do that, you are a business. That is a business. And so you can use tax deductions based on you being a business owner. So those people who are looking to start businesses, I'll also send you that information. We get started at that point, then you can also do other businesses. You can do whatever you want, but you could start this business on a free level, and then once you learn more about it, you can decide how you want to work it. But I'll send all of that information over to you. But that's real important about the income tax write-off. Your gas.
You mean the benefit of setting up a LLC and a C corp, S corp, and you know, basically the benefits of a corporation?
A home-based business. A home-based business.
Right, right. You know? But you have to. But you're saying talking about the different business entities, or you're just talking about the importance of setting it up. Period.
Well, the importance of setting it up. Period. And it's set up as a home-based business. You can also get an LLC. You can get a C corp. You can get all of those things, but it takes money for you to start those types of entities. But you can.
I just wanted clarification. I just wanted to know what you were saying. In terms of. So if you say that you have a home-based business, you're able to write off a certain percentage or square foot of your house, right?
Right.
Yeah, so you, and all of that stuff.
Utilities and cars and everything. As a matter of fact, everybody should have a home-based business at any level, you know. But we can talk about that. But everybody should have that because that's where you're going to deal with the IRS and you can have the write-offs and, you know, purchase things and all of those things for business use. So I'll also send you that information as well. I just wanted to throw that in.
Okay, great. Yep. Thank you so much.
Sure, you're welcome.
All right. Brothers and sisters, you know what? We are going to conclude this call. I think it was very productive. We've had a few members sign up tonight, so I want to thank all the new members. And again, just before we leave, I want to ask anyone else who is not currently a member to visit the website, click the menu button, and look at the blueprint, see if it resonates with you, and then become a member at the $10, $25, or $50 level. You know what this organization is trying to do. Tomorrow I will put up the, I don't like the word donate, I really don't, but I guess make a contribution or whatever, or support us like the brother said, right? So I will probably put a support us button and, you know, outline what the organization is again, and you know, allow people to make a contribution that way. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So brothers and sisters, if no one else has anything that they want to say or you know, in parting, I'm going to end this call.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.